Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman. Chris Woodward has replaced Steve Jordahl, who replaced Fred Jackson, who will be back with us probably in the next couple of weeks. Fred is recuperating at home from a heart attack, and he is doing well. Texted him earlier, and he's looking forward to being, he called it, back in the saddle. So we'll look forward to Fred's return. And Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with us today, as he does most Tuesdays and Thursdays, from Kansas City. And good morning again, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. Great to be with you.
Folks, I'd like to talk about this half hour. Before we get into some more news of the day, in March, not this past March, in the upcoming March, we're going to be, well, we did go in March to Israel last March, but you can't go on that tour because we've already been. But you can go on the tour next March to the Holy Land if you would like to join us. We have the all the information available now for those of you who want to. I think we got 35 folks signed up, 35 or 40, so people are signing up already to go with us to Israel. We go once a year, and my wife Allison and I, we lead the tour. We'll meet you at the airport in Newark, and we'll fly over to Tel Aviv, and we'll get on a bus, and you'll see all the places you've read about and heard about in the Bible since you were a child and you started having Bible stories read to you. We'll go to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and see Galilee and the Jordan River and Masada and the Dead Sea, and just every day is packed full of wow moments where you say, hey, I read about that in the Bible, and here we are at this very place. So I won't go through all the itinerary, but I'll just say this. If you want more information on our tour, then go to the website twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want a brochure sent to your home, you have to call us and order it. Give us your name and your address. Just call 800-FAMILIES. 800-FAMILIES, and then press the number 5 on the phone, and there you'll leave us your name and your address, and we will send you a brochure. Now, my secretary told me this morning that we got a lot of calls from people the last week, and some of your English wasn't too clear, so you need to make sure, I'm going to say it kindly. She said, I got some Cajun folks calling in, and I couldn't hardly understand them. And I said, we love Cajun folks to come on our tours of Israel, because we get over there, and they put their hot sauce on everything and show the rest of us how to eat. But, hey, if you want to call in and leave us your name and your address, we'll mail you a brochure. And just call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. Tim Wildman here, Walker Wildman. All right, Chris. And Ray Pritchard. Chris, what do you got for us?
Well, begin with a story on OneNewsNow.com right now. This is from the Associated Press. The Trump administration on Tuesday rolled out a health insurance option for small businesses and self-employed people that could lead to lower premiums, but may also cover fewer benefits than current plans. These are the so-called skimpy plans that you might have heard about. But the interesting thing with this particular option, which the president called for several weeks ago, allows for people, business owners, self-employed people with pre-existing conditions, to buy things across state lines, which is something Republicans have been talking for long since before I started here.
By insurance, you mean?
By insurance, yes. Now, this would only affect small businesses and self-employed people at this time, but it's one of the things President Trump has long talked about as a way to help people deal with rising premiums, deductibles, copays, things of that sort. My question to you guys is, are you concerned that we're still not addressing the elephant in the room that is Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, which Congress and the President have yet to repeal and replace?
Walker, you got any opinion on this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The main issue here as far as prices go and availability and flexibility on the market is the Obamacare disaster. So Republicans pledged for 4 to 6 years, we're going to repeal Obamacare, put us in power. We're going to repeal Obamacare. Well, President Trump gets elected, and the Republicans are nowhere to be found.
Well, John McCain ran that thing, dude. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
More so, than anybody, but...
So they have not, despite what they say, they have repealed the individual mandate, at least temporarily. Mm-hmm. There's a sunset clause on it. But the bulk of Obamacare is still there, the law.
So. And that would have been taken care of to a large extent, but John McCain had a personal vendetta against Donald Trump. And that's the reason that Obamacare was not...
That's correct.
Repealed. But that happens in politics. So, anyway, Ray, any thoughts on this before we move on to the next topic?
In just thinking about what Walker said, I wonder if the situation isn't like this. With the repeal of the individual mandate, it seems like Congress has gutted Obamacare but not cut its head off. So what we have is a dying plan, which is a total disaster. But what we need, Walker, is a clear and good replacement. And for some reason, Congress can't get that done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know from my interviews with people like Twyla Brace at Citizens Council for Health Freedom up in Minnesota, she's long argued that we need to just repeal it first and then talk replacement, because one of the things Republicans often do is they'll throw out a replacement plan, which people will find issues with, nitpick it, media will do whatever media always does with it, and that's what causes us never to actually have the replacement. A good example would be the plan that Paul Ryan and other people came out with last year. Then you had the plan in the Senate, the Graham Cassidy plan. That had issues, all sorts of stuff. And then people hem-haw, and all of a sudden Susan Collins or Murkowski or McCain kind of go rogue, as some people call it, and then vote against what all the other Republicans are doing. So,
next story.
If you have things... If you have stocks in the Dow, today is not your best day. No, it's not as bad as it was earlier this morning. At one point around 10 o'clock today, the Dow was down more than 400 points. I'm looking at MarketWatch right now. It's down 300. But it's being blamed on President Trump's increasing tough talk when it comes to tariffs.
You sound like Dan Celia.
Thank you. Thank you. I take pride in that. Nobody could do what Dan does, though. But one of the things people are blaming it on is President Trump's tariffs talk. He announced last night we're going to do $200 billion more tariffs on China in retaliation for their putting tariffs on our stuff, as he wants to crack down on problems with trade between both of us. He's already been talking tough about Canada to the point that Canadians are now boycotting the U.S. over tariffs. Here's my question, though. Do you think this is a bad time for this president, given many people in his party are running for re-election this November? Do you think investors are concerned and maybe not vote for the
people they put in office? Well, I think President Trump, two things. One is President Trump ran on this. Okay?
True.
This is a big part of his campaign was trade fairness, right? So this is not unexpected, what he's doing here. Although I get confused sometimes about what a president can do on his own and what requires congressional authority. Of course, President Obama decided to break down a lot of those walls. He just said, I got a pen and a phone, I'll do what I want to. And he kind of led the way in increasing the power of the executive branch. And I think President Trump's probably following along in the path that President Obama took in regards to executive power versus congressional oversight or authority. But I think President Trump, first of all, he ran on this. Secondly, he is taking a long view, I think, of bringing a trade, what he calls fairness, to the table. And there will be some give and take. There will be some volatility in the stock market because of this. And some people probably will be hurt in our own country because of this, but he's trying to fix a systemic problem, and that is he feels like, and he can make the case for this very well, that Americans are being, we're being treated differently when we trade with other countries than what these countries are doing when we allow them to trade into America. Now, some would argue, and I've heard this argument before, well, we don't need to get into this because it leads to a trade war, mm-hmm. which hurts the American, which hurts a purchasing ability of certain products right. and may lead to people being out of jobs in our country. And so, but the, you know, there's you can argue that too. But Ray, I think President Trump is risking, or maybe not risking. He is risking in one sense, but he's sort of putting his views all out there and hoping that in the end it works out best for our country.
Well, Tim, you've made the great point. He's only doing what he said he was going to do. He's a, you know, he's willing to fight a trade war if he has to.
Right.
That's not a. Nobody really wants that, but it's not as if we're going after Guatemala or Burundi
right.
or Paraguay, something like that. We're in a tariff fight with the second largest economy in the world, and Mr. Trump is just saying you can't treat us differently. Mm-hmm. We've got to have fair trade. Now, one hopes this does not cause the market to tank completely, because that would be a mess up. Heading into the midterm elections, but the real question is how far is he willing to go, and how far are the Chinese willing to go? Surely, I mean, their economy is more fragile than ours is right now. Surely there will be some meeting of the minds in the middle, and we won't have a full out trade war, which truly, Tim, could be disastrous
right.
for mm-hmm. both economies.
That's the risk I'm talking about. That President mm-hmm. Trump is having to factor all this and say, I'm willing to take the risk that. In the end, this is going to be good for our country, and people are going to appreciate it, and it's going to lead to a better economy, even though the risk in the short term is just the things Ray mentioned here. Mm-hmm. And, boy, we played our best, Dan Sue. You're right there, too, Ray.
Yeah.
We sounded smart.
That's what we did.
Right
That's
there.
Right.
That's
I joke often that if Dan worked 8 days a week, 25 hours a day, he'd only be cutting back.
Yeah. Yeah, that dude, he goes to bed, I think, at 9 or 10 and wakes up at 3 or
yeah.
something. He's just a machine, Dan Sui, and we're so happy to have him as Amen. Part of our AFR team. Next story, Chris.
All right. If you are a communist and a fan of Che Guevara, West
Why are you
Point
looking at me?
May not be West Point may not be your place to be. That's because a West Point graduate who made headlines months ago for writing "Communism will win" inside his cap and wearing a Che Guevara T-shirt underneath his uniform at his
I'm
West
wearing
Point
a
graduation.
What?
Che Guevara, he's one of the revolutionaries that a lot of the young hipsters like to idolize, even though he's
I never heard of him. Should I have?
He's part of the Castro era, the overthrowing of Cuba and
Are you
things
familiar
like that
with
in
him?
The 50s.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
I guess
was,
I missed
he
his
was,
name.
He was the darling of the hippies and the radicals
okay. oh, yeah.
decades ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So just to review mm-hmm. here, because I interrupted you three times there.
That's okay.
You have a story here. There is a cadet at West Point Academy, which is our Army,
mm-hmm.
top school for Army graduates.
Yes, sir.
And he there's a picture taken of him, and he's holding open his hat. Where'd you get this?
It's from Fox News.
Okay. And inside his hat, which is sort of a, it says, "Communists will win." So what is this? Is this somebody who's... what is this
he's
about?
He's a communist sympathizer. It's not the first time
he's
that he's
American
made...
He's an American graduate of West Point.
Yep.
And West Point.
We covered this as well on OneNewsNow.com when it first made headlines. Chad Groening's working hard to follow up on it today for us. But it's not the first time he's made communist... he's had communist leanings. His name is Spencer Rapone, but he was given an other than honorable discharge for conduct unbecoming of an officer. He's no longer at West Point. Well, he graduated from West Point. He's no longer a member of the military. The now former cadet said the probe found him advocating for socialist revolution online and disparaging high-ranking officers and U.S. officials. The Army says it took appropriate action in dealing with the situation. I would say so.
Why would a communist sign up for the American Army?
Why would a communist want to seek the Democratic presidential nomination in 2016 and seek to
yeah, but
take it from
this
Hillary?
This is the military you're talking about. I mean,
true.
You can't get any more patriotic than joining the military.
Aren't you kind of asking for trouble
if you
have a photo taken?
Yeah. So he got kicked out?
He got kicked out. He was given a an other than honorable discharge. So his chances of finding a good job are going to be slim to none. Because when you mess with Uncle Sam.
Right. What did the sign say again?
Communism will win. He had it written on inside his hat.
He's a little bit behind the times, a little bit late
yeah,
for that.
I would say. Yeah. He doesn't look happy either. He's got a bad...
He needs a Coke and a smile.
He's got an unhappy disposition, it looks like, here. You know, you think you'd be happy you're graduating from West Point.
Yeah, really. I mean, they don't exactly let anybody in.
Duly noted. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Walker, did you put that story up on our
Facebook page? But I will do it as we speak.
Okay,
because I want people to see that picture we're mm-hmm. talking about. See, he just doesn't look happy to me at all. I think,
I agree.
You think you'd be... Anyway, what's your next story, Chris?
Let me ask you this. If I was to ask you guys, what do you think, who are the highest secondary or high school teachers in America? Who are the highest paid high school teachers in America? In what state do you think they would reside?
California. Just a guess.
I'm going to say New York.
Okay. Walker?
I'm going to go with Florida.
You will be surprised by this, I think, because I was. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and USA Today, the highest paid secondary school teachers in America are in Alaska. They make $85,420 on average in Alaska. It's the highest in the U.S. The lowest. Who do you guys think is the lowest?
I don't even want to guess.
Mississippi?
Okay.
Alabama.
What's the Arkansas?
All right. Oklahoma, $41,880 on average annual wage for Oklahoma. That was one of the reasons why teachers there were on strike not too long ago. They were demanding better pay conditions.
I would guess the higher pay in Alaska would be because you have to pay more to attract people to come there to teach because it's so out of the way.
Right.
I would guess.
And they may have more students.
That's true.
Per teacher.
True.
If they have a shortage of teachers, then mm-hmm. instead of having 20 right, kids, yeah. they may have 40 kids in a classroom.
You don't have a lot of people that live there. You know how many people live in Alaska, Ray? Would it be half a million, maybe?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up.
I'm saying half a million, maybe, would be the total population of Alaska. I'm just guessing.
740,000.
Okay, 740,000. So,
not too many.
But
spread out across a big state.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but I think you do have to pay more. To attract people.
I will tell you this. We do have people listening to us mm-hmm. in Alaska. Some of our callers at the most recent Share-a-thon, took calls from donors in Alaska. They were listening to us on AFR.net. God bless them.
Amen. People supporting us from Alaska, and we don't have a radio station
we
there, so
not.
They're listening to the app,
right.
probably.
Yes.
The American Family Radio radio app. All right, we got about 7 minutes.
Okay, I'll keep it going. We don't often have positive things to say about the MTV Awards of any kind, but the star of the Black Panther film, Chadwick Boseman, he was given an MTV Award. He was in Black Panther. He was given an MTV Award last night, and he turned around and gave it to the man who presented the award. That's because the man who presented the award was the so-called Waffle House shooting hero back in Tennessee. The gentleman who delivered the award, he's the one that confronted the gunman. He burned it. He kind of wrestled him. He burned his hand grabbing the gun, which I would not advocate many people do. But he basically prevented the shooting from being worse. Black Panther star Chadwick Boseman turned around, gave his award to the hero in charge. His name is James Shaw Jr. What do you guys think?
Good for him.
Mm-hmm. He's a hero.
He is a hero. You read that story. Mm-hmm. He stopped a lot of people from dying there just by, you know, he grabbed the gun and burned his hand. Mm-hmm. That was the situation there. I would also say this. I didn't see that movie, The Black Panther. It's a superhero movie.
It is. Part of the Marvel universe.
It was the first time an African-American had been featured as the star, mm-hmm. if you will. And that movie... It still may be number one. I don't know. It was number one at the box office for like
It's already one of the top 10 highest grossing films of all time.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, I haven't seen the film yet. I'm not a big superhero, film goer. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. Well, I like Iron Man too. So maybe I am. But anyway, the point is, mm-hmm. that this movie was a hit with a lot of people across the country. country and around the world. I'd never heard of this actor. Was that his first major film?
He's been in other things, but that's the first starring role. And he's part of the Avengers series as well, probably, so you'll continue to
if
see
him. If they make a Black Panther 2, this guy will be set for life.
Oh, sure.
Huh?
I would imagine he'll be paid a lot more for part 2 than he was in part 1.
Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Man, Chris, you're good.
I've got the insight.
How do you know these things?
Well, the lady who played Wonder Woman was paid peanuts compared to what she's going to get for a future film. She was
paid. Was that a hit too?
Yes.
Okay.
At the time, it was the highest grossing of the DC films. She's going to have a sequel, and they're going to do more Justice League stuff. Speaking of heroes, did you
see that movie, Ray?
No.
What do you call it?
Black Panther.
Black Panther.
This is part of the Marvel superhero
yes, sir.
Series, right? Okay. I haven't seen any.
Was that a new superhero? Or was that has the Black Panther been around?
I'm not sure when it started, but it's been around.
Okay.
Stan Lee and his creative partner at Marvel created it years ago.
Okay.
All right. All right.
What else you got?
Well, speaking of heroes, there is a pastor, volunteer firefighter, and a medic who stopped
all
the
in
shooting
one?
At a
all yes, rolled sir. Into one.
Yes, sir. Ree Bob, as they say where I'm from. In Monroe County, Mississippi. Proud of it.
Yes,
all right.
Yes, sir, Bob. You people, you're going to have to interpret that for our last.
I may be the only one
here.
From there.
Yes, sir, Bob.
Don't shame us, Chris. Okay. But a pastor, volunteer, firefighter, and medic stopped a shooting at a Walmart in Washington State. The guy outside has a gun. He's looking to do bodily harm to various people. And a pastor, volunteer, firefighter, and a medic who was armed took it upon himself to make sure the bad guy didn't get more people. This is what people have been talking about a long time mm-hmm. when it comes to shootings, that, you know, it's important for gun-free zones are problems. It's important for people who are trained to use their head to stop things like this. We should have more of this, people say. What do you guys think?
Yeah, the unfortunate thing here is that's not going to be the CNN headline. That's not going to be on the front page of the New York Times.
Yeah, they'll say thou shalt not kill.
Because it paints the legal carrying of a firearm in public in a positive light because the fellow is a hero. But you have a school shooting next week and it will dominate the news cycle for 2 to 3 days
mm-hmm.
because it paints a negative light on the Second Amendment and firearms. But as shown in that example and as we all know and everybody says, good people with guns stopping bad people with guns is the way to go because there are more guns in this country than there are people. So the option to do away with the Second Amendment is not an option. Thus, we might as well have good people with guns.
Well, thank God there was a good guy with a gun mm-hmm. who knew what to do with it in that situation. He saved lives.
That's right.
Right. Now, building off the guns, there is a restaurant in Kansas that has caused a stir, some people would say. They've got a sign. You know, a lot of times when you enter a business, they say no guns. They've got the little sticker, don't bring your gun in here. However they want to say it. This particular restaurant has
a
sign.
They got the little sticker, Chris?
They've got a sticker, but it says,
no guns.
Guns are welcome on our premises. It shows a pistol with a big circle over it saying, basically, you can bring your guns in here. We don't have a problem
where
with it.
Where is this?
In
where
Kansas.
This? Okay.
I'll shoot you guys the links here in a minute. I should have done that earlier.
No pun intended.
My apologies. Right. a Kansas restaurant has sparked a heated debate on social media after posting a picture to its Facebook page stating, guns are welcome on our premises. Some people are saying this is not right. It's going to only mean people with guns
blah,
that want to do
blah.
Harm are going to come in here.
Right.
Shame on you, that kind of thing.
Right.
What's the name of the restaurant?
Riverside Cafe in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay. Nice. Worth a visit, folks.
They welcome you if you're packing.
Yes.
All
back
right.
on some pounds and bring your pistol.
Bring your pistol.
Hey,
put a target out back.
Score update. How's Mississippi State doing?
4-1 over the North Carolina Tar Heels right
there
now.
There you go.
I know we got a lot of Tar Heel fans in the audience, too. So, well, folks,
we're just reporting the news,
yes.
folks.
Yeah, no
Walker,
bias here.
We're not going to fake it. Walker and I are hoping the Bulldogs win. I'm
class
sorry.
Of 2004.
Nothing against Tar Heel fans. All right, have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time.